I want to welcome John Merz, who's been a friend of mine for quite a while, and he is with Friends of Bidwell Park.
Correct.
And so I'm going to let John kind of take off and tell us, you know, what does the Friends of Bidwell Park do? My God, Bidwell Park certainly needs friends. So I'm interested too. So go ahead, John.
Well, basically, we became a nonprofit organization back in 2003, pretty much in response to a proposal to have the disc golf course established up on Highway 32. And that had originally been on Bureau of Land Management land, which then got transferred to the city of Chico, became part of the park, part of that whole thing that happened actually a number of years ago when that south side was added to the park. That's not part of the original park lands. It was, again, purchased by the city subsequent to that.
Now, I just had one question. Now,
sure.
When you say park, most people picture what's right downtown and out to 5 Mile. But okay. You're talking about a much bigger...
Well, actually, that's a really good point. Now, yeah, Bidwell Park, you know, it's actually over 3,000 acres. Basically, the park is really, they say Upper Park, which is pretty much from Manzanita going, you know, into the mountains, and then Manzanita down into downtown. Annie's Glen is kind of the end of the park, though actually there's the Lost Park element too, which is that piece that just feeds into the campus, Children's Playground.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so okay. So basically it ends at the Esplanade. It's called Lost Park because a lot of people actually don't realize that was part of the original, you know, deed that was given to the city.
I certainly didn't.
Yeah, yeah. But it actually kind of makes sense. And then, of course, then you have actually outside of Bidwell Park, but then you have the mansion, you know, mm-hmm. right there adjacent mm-hmm. to Chico State, et cetera. But there's a lot of pretty amazing history, actually, in terms of what's been added or administered by different people. There's a river park actually out on the river that was actually part of a separate deed that was given by the Bidwell. So there's some pretty amazing history in terms of just open space. Mm-hmm. But Bidwell Park itself is pretty much from the Esplanade, Lost Park. The designations are helpful too. Is Annie's Glen, 1 mile, 1 mile from downtown, 5 mile, 5 miles from downtown, and then it, of course, goes up to the golf course, and then goes from there, goes into the canyon country.
Yes.
And ultimately, now butts up against the ecological reserve that's owned and managed by the university.
Which is way up there.
Yeah.
Off of 32,
exactly,
right?
And you have to access it from 32.
Uh-huh.
Whereas, obviously, Bidwell Park itself has a roadway system, somewhat limited. You have South Park Drive and Peterson Drive or North Park Drive in the lower, and then of course, then you get onto Manzanita, and you can either go to the 5 Mile picnic area. Basically, 5 Mile actually was a swimming area at one time too. That's actually dammed. It has a dam on it. That's another story in and of itself. Uh-huh. I don't know how far afield you want to go here, but there's a lot of moving parts relative to the park. But you know, you get on Manzanita and then you turn onto Wildwood, which is
yes.
Which is a separate piece, basically, acquired actually from some developers who wanted to develop on both sides of what's called the diversion channel, because there was a diversion channel built years ago as a flood control system by the Army Corps of Engineers that takes Big Chico Creek water and then diverts it first to Lindo Channel, or also called Sandy Gulch, and or at a certain elevation, then it swings over to the Sycamore Diversion, which then takes water all the way around North Chico and then brings it back ultimately to pretty much almost the mouth of Big Chico Creek. It's actually a tributary of Big Chico Creek. So anyway, so when people ask about, yeah, what is Bidwell Park? Well, it's that again, it's that upper and lower. And I like to make the distinction of a middle park too, because basically from Manzanita up to the golf course, or basically actually where the gates are,
yeah,
and where you can hike up to Monkey Face,
yes,
that's really middle park, because again it's still kind of flat ground, you're starting to get some elevation but from that point on then it's and then of course that was that upper park above the golf course is also where a number of significant swimming holes are.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Bear Hole, Salmon Hole.
Yeah. And so what was that? I think it's Bear Hole, where there's not a dam, but there's some kind of big cement structure there.
No, actually, that was a diversion dam, and that's actually still it. You know, the park's been played with, if you will, by a number of folks, and that original diversion was to bring water actually to the golf course.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, I know. The golf course, of course, wasn't originally there. And in fact, it's been expanded. And I think to the detriment of the park, to tell you the truth, that road that now goes by the golf course used to go through a series of swales. It was very beautiful, you know, area, nice, gentle, if you will, entry into Upper Park. And they wanted to expand the golf course, so they ended up moving it basically to the north and move the road then out to the outside. So now you got this thing with speed bumps and rocks, and it's just like, oh man, if you know what was there before, you realize how much we lost when that happened. It was really a mistake.
In
my mind.
Yes.
To have that happen.
Yes.
And in fact, we did oppose it, but not, at that time, Friends of Biddle Park did not exist. But I've actually been involved in environmental issues in Chico for a very long time. Moved here in 74. I was general manager of the Butte Environmental Council going way back. And then I sat on the Biddle Park and Playground Commission for a term, and then also sat on the board of CARD. Though CARD, Chico Area Recreation and Park District, is a separate entity from the city, and it's called a special district, and it actually covers a larger area than Chico proper. And like I said, might be getting a little too far afield here with information.
It's okay.
But these are these things that cross over.
Yes.
Like now, Wildwood Park, for instance, that which is, again, is to the entrance into, if I would call it, Middle Park, is actually now run by CARD. It was, you know, from a management standpoint. I don't believe the city turned over title, though I don't actually know that for a fact. Uh-huh. But, of course, on the other side of the diversion channel that I was talking about is, you know, Rancho Arroyo, which was a big deal a number of years ago when they wanted to develop houses next to Upper Park.
I remember.
And ultimately the city, there was a suit and so on and so forth, and the city ultimately bought that land. And but it's actually not part of the park. It's actually separately managed, and it's actually part of a conservation area at this stage.
I see.
It's open space, but there's really no access.
I do.
For now.
I got a little taste of that when I was talking to Dick Corey about Tigard Ponds, how the different properties become under different jurisdictions and all that kind of stuff.
Tigard Ponds is a story in and of itself.
Oh, it certainly is.
I'm sure it was. It is.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's real good.
He is real good.
Yeah, but yeah, I get it. Yeah, there's just been a lot of property that the Bidwells deeded over for open space, and it's been chopped up and things done to it.
Different parts, and again, it was really Annie, not John. You know, those things happened after he had passed. But again, with the intention, at least in terms of Bidwell Park, to get back to what the Friends of is all about, is to basically to protect the natural features of the park. Basically plant and animal life and the physical features as well. And that really is the guiding principle for Friends of Biddle Park as well, is to make sure that we, the city of Chico, honors that gift. Now, it was a gift, and there was this, you know, there's been some controversy in the past about whether the heirs could, you know, if we didn't stick to the original agreement, so on and so forth. But actually, that all went away legally. And so Biddle Park is owned by the city of Chico, and it's our responsibility, you know, to manage in a way that still fits within that original framework of protecting those natural features. And one of the reasons why, getting back to now, the formation of the Friends, in 2003, we were very concerned with, even though this was in not the original Upper Park, but part of this addition, there was going to be this disc golf course that was going to have major impacts, potentially, on the landscape. For a variety of reasons. And so long story short, we ended up suing the city, and out of that came an agreement that led to an environmental document and a Biddle Park Master Management Plan. And that exists. A lot of people don't know about it. Sometimes I don't think the city knows about it. But that's another conversation.
Yes.
Which we may still have. But it's really to make sure that various features, including in this case specifically the disc golf course, basically led to the creation of this master management plan.
Oh, yes.
And that's kind of where, you know, that's kind of actually brings us up to where we are now.
Okay.
In terms of things that are coming down and some of the concerns that we have currently.
And who's involved in doing that master management plan? You guys and the city?
Well, actually, it was done by a consultant, but in conjunction with, you know, the city was responsible for doing it. And then, of course, we were part of the public review process.
Yeah.
And then it was adopted by the council.
Well, it really sounds like Chico's lucky that Friends of Bidwell Park exists.
I think so.
Well, just to be able to kind of keep track of those things.
Well, again, it's so you of course hope that the commission will be doing its job and so on and so forth, but they're appointees and a lot of there's always this dynamic between staff and commissions.
Yes.
That's a little tricky anyway. But at the end of the day, the commissions actually are appointed by the council and are advisory to the council. So generally speaking, they aren't really making, depending on what it is, they usually aren't making decisions by themselves. There are some exceptions to that. They're allowed to enter into contracts that are less than, I think, 15 years, things of that nature. But generally speaking, the commission is kind of a sounding board, and the idea is to take the load off. This is true for all commissions, is to help take the load off the council.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that only works if they're doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, otherwise it can add to the...
So do you have a good relationship with the commission?
There's a brand new commission now.
Yeah,
basically there are only two that carried over from the last commission.
You're listening to a pre-recorded interview with John Mers from Friends of Bidwell Park. We'll come back in just a minute. Let's return to our interview with John Mers from Friends of Bidwell Park on KZFR 90.1, and I'm Bobby Tryon, and this is North State Give and Take. Give me an idea of what are some of the issues that you deal with. So on your agenda, what would be something that you would be working on?
Well, basically anything that involves potential impacts to the park's environment.
Okay.
And actually one of the biggest problems we're having right now is we're very concerned that the city is actually not meeting the letter of the law relative to environmental review for a variety of different projects. The controversy, if you want to call it that, or the point of contention is this a managerial project, i.e. it's something that is just part of the day-to-day functioning of having the park function, be it garbage pickup, whatever.
Yeah.
Or is it something that actually will have impacts that need to be analyzed to make sure that they don't in fact have negative environmental effects that aren't mitigated in some fashion or dealt with, recognized? And that's where the rubber's been meeting the road quite a bit there lately, and we have some serious concerns.
Because of some action that has...
Well, for instance, they just adopted, and it just went through the council, they've adopted now a fire management plan. Actually, they call it a vegetative fuels management plan, which is all well and good, and that's one of the big deals, of course, about the park is where it's situated. I mean, from...
Absolutely.
Yeah, from up in the foothills all the way into literally the heart of Chico, I mean, to downtown when you get down to it. But having said that, again, each part of the park is very unique in terms of what it's made up of, in terms of vegetation and transportation, who's up against, who borders it, in terms of what those impacts might be. And there's all kinds of things that then have to be dealt with as a consequence. Lower Park, of course, is really, again, in an urban area, and so you have concerns about things like fire. And also another major issue is invasive plants, because it's basically was historically an oak woodland, and it's not that anymore. I mean, there are some areas of the park are, but a lot of it's been negatively impacted by things that came in from all over Hillingon. I mean, think about what grows in Chico in terms of like around here. This is my backyard. And so all of that seed source, of things.
Yeah.
And some of those plant species, the invasive ones, non-natives, are very aggressive. And so you have issues about how do you deal with that, including the issues of do you spray, do you use chemicals, or again, can you do it by hand?
Goats.
That's where the goats come into play. And the goats actually... really, it's partly a control feature, but I think really more oriented towards the fire end of that conversation than anything else.
Uh-huh.
They actually don't usually kill things, they just knock them back.
Sure.
And they eat everything.
Yeah.
Including tin cans, supposedly. But anyway, and so that's the lower park, and then the upper, middle and upper park, again, fall in these other categories, or they don't have as many neighbors, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the wind patterns and the types of vegetation, Upper Park is pretty wide open.
Mm-hmm.
At least that middle section, it's that that interface between, if you will, the foothills and the valley, and all the things that that translates to. Mm-hmm. And then we just have, you know, again, the climatic variations that occur as a consequence of that too. So a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, so now, if you have some advice and say, you know, we don't think this is a good idea, do they listen to you?
Well, that's been, of course, the other problem. They haven't even been open to the public. I mean, or, you know, there have been no public meetings where people are actually able to be in the room. Mm-hmm. They've had, they've gone to a couple different internet applications that have supposedly allowed for some interface, but it's not a good place to be if you're trying to, in fact, adopt public policy that is truly reflective of the public's concerns. Mm-hmm. And so as a consequence, we are, we've been pushing to really want them to open up. If nothing else, it seems like a little thing, but the Park Commission used to be on Channel 11, you know, which is our community access channel. City Council meetings are, Planning Commission meetings are, but supposedly because of cost considerations, I mean, we've asked and been told that basically they don't have the staff to be able to make that part of what's going on in terms of letting people know what's happening at the commission level.
Yeah.
And then there's the issues of getting people in the room and all that other stuff, again, that's there. So it has not, and again, we just had a change in who's on the commission now, too. So there's that going on as well. So we are... we're looking forward to a new day. Hopefully we can change the nature of the dialogue. And the other thing that's going on, of course, especially right now, is the whole issue of the homeless in terms of encampments and all of that. And that's really colored almost every conversation as well.
Yeah.
And that's a larger issue. Bidwell Park is just a piece of that. Because again, the Friends of Bidwell Park only deals with truly that initial park designation. We don't deal with neighborhood parks. We don't deal with greenways, you know, other than Big Chico Creek as it runs through Bidwell Park. And so they fall within the purview of the Bidwell Park and Playground Commission, but not within our purview as an organization that was put together to basically protect, if you will, the heart of Bidwell Park.
So they respect your advice or your...
Depends on who you're talking about and what the issue is.
I see. And it's the commission that you... there's you, then it's the commission that you deal with, and then the commission is beholden to the council.
Correct.
Okay, so that's how that works.
That's really how that works. I mean, and that's was the, again, part of the reason for these commissions was to have a place, be it park, be it Planning Commission or the Arts Commission, I mean, run through all the different commissions. They're there to have this initial interface, hopefully as broad-based as possible, so the public can have a, you know, see what's going on, try things out, kick around ideas. I mean, it's supposed to have a lot of this dialogue so that they winnow these options into a, you know, hopefully a select series of choices or potential choices, and then pass it on to the council for final determination. That's really the idea.
Yeah.
You know, go from the wide to the narrow.
Yeah.
And again, so that it's everybody's aware of the process and can weigh in at an appropriate time.
So the Friends don't actually do any boots on the ground. It's more helping the commission with ideas on what's the best thing for Bidwell Park.
Actually, historically, we've been actually boots on the ground a lot as well. We were very involved, especially just a number of our former board members, like Susan Mason.
Yes.
Basically, Susan's story on in and of to herself, invasive plants. I mean, the work that Susan did on that and is still doing, she's actually back in town now, not sure for how long. Again, people that have just taken things on and we've run with them, and we are actually paying for a while the cleanup of Lost Park. We were actually paying the Work Training Center to come in with their staff and make sure it was cleaned up once a week. Because actually people were down there, you know, again, not camping, but they're still, you know, not utilizing their resources the way it should be. Unfortunately, we just got into situations where we really didn't feel like it was money being well spent in terms of what the intention had been. And so, and the same was going with the invasive plant stuff. So we've actually cut back on our financial gifts, if you will, to the city until that's cleared up.
So can people donate or be friends of the Friends?
Well, again, we're not a membership organization, so you don't, you know, send us $25 and you're a member for a year.
Right.
If you send us $25, you'll probably be a member forever. Because you won't be a member, you'll be a supporter. I mean,
I see.
You know, it's like everything. You get on a list, very good chance you won't get off the list, even when you die.
Yeah.
But anyway. We've all been there.
Just look at my phone log.
I know, exactly. I know. But yes, we do outreach. We were involved in North Valley Community Foundation's last fundraiser last fall, and raised over $1,000 in that event. We do outreach. We don't want to ask for money unless there's really a good reason. Mm-hmm. You know, what are you going to spend the money on?
Yeah.
And that's actually right now up in the air.
Sure.
So one of the things that we are looking at, and this is the thing that I think is kind of exciting, is that kind of going back to square one, and that is we want to do a report on the status of Bidwell Park. You know, say, what is going on with the park? And then just literally pretty much how this interview started. What is Bidwell Park? Okay, let's talk about that and break this down so everybody understands what we're talking about and you know how these things fit or don't, as the case may be, and then have that community dialogue. I think we're way overdue. We're looking at actually personal interaction. I mean, I think there will be some written document.
Yeah.
But, you know, the problem, I shouldn't call it a problem, but it's a reality. A lot of times, you know, these things get written up and they get put on a shelf and there they sit. You know?
I know.
In this case, we really actually want, it kind of gets back to the boots on the ground thing that you were talking about. It's like giving people places they can go, things they can do, making those connections, and showing that, in fact, the park really is this living, breathing entity that's got, that needs as much tender, loving care as possible, and then the ways that people can provide that.
You don't really have a volunteer coordinator, obviously, but if someone was, and if you wanted to put your boots on the ground with the Friends, is there some opportunity there, like right now, something that could be done in the park?
Well, basically, actually, we do refer people to the city. The City Parks Department does have a volunteer group.
Okay.
It's called PALS. There's that, their acronym, which is basically partners and ambassadors. Anyway,
I see them.
And it's Shane Romaine is the volunteer coordinator for the Parks Department, and he's in charge of that effort.
Okay.
And they do a number of different things. They've got some great groups that are doing their kind of things on their almost on their own. The one I like the best in terms of a title is called the Ivy League. And these folks are trying to eliminate English ivy in the park, which is a big issue because it's definitely not native and it's very
and it just goes into everything.
Exactly. And it's extremely difficult to get out. I mean, if you were,
I got my yard.
It's just like, I mean, it's almost impossible to kill.
Yeah.
So just even cutting it back. So there are folks who are doing those kinds of things. And we want to, again, let people know about those opportunities.
Okay. Yeah. And then a position on the board. Mm-hmm. Is that something that we'd say to our listeners?
Yeah. Open to anybody. And you don't have to live in the city of Chico for that. Bidwell Park, it is owned by the city of Chico. It is the city park. But the reality is, it's a regional park.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about who comes to there, I mean, if you went out there and interviewed 20 people on any given day, I'm sure at least 25% would be from some other place, you know, maybe more, depending on the day and all the rest. And that's the nature of it. It's really well known. I mean, and the word's out.
Yeah. So if someone was interested, do you have a website where people could find information?
Yeah, Friends of Bidwell Park.
Okay.
Friendsofbidwellpark.org.
Okay.
And you can go there. Again, people can call me directly if they have any questions.
And what's your number?
It's 530-345-4050.
Okay.
We do not have an office. Again, that's you know, we don't spend money on that kind of thing, though we could, if it ever came to that. But right now it's more, again, these monthly meetings, again, usually monthly, every month and a half.
Yeah.
And that's when the business, if you will, of the organization is done. I'm the president, we have a vice president, we have a treasurer, and those are the mechanics, if you will, of the organization and how we deal with it. And then our board members often will take on a special project. If they have something of interest that they have specifically, and again, we've worked with the volunteer groups historically, not just through the city, but the groups that have come in too.
And then the board, if they want to be on the board, is there an application or just call you?
Just call me and we'll just talk about it. Because basically we don't have a formal application, but we do want, of course, to get some sense of who you are and what your background is. Especially, actually, it's not a requirement, but it does help to have some nonprofit organizational background.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't get involved in that kind of stuff.
I know.
And of course, be amazed at how many things are actually of that nature, like KZFR, but yeah. Little League. I mean,
yeah.
You
oh
the
my
list,
gosh,
you
know, I know.
Future Farmers of America. I mean, those
I
are
know.
All.
I know.
You'll fall within that.
Yeah.
And they all have boards.
Yeah.
So it's you know, it's a personal commitment, and board members, they don't get paid. I mean, it's
no,
this,
right.
this is the essence of volunteer work.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this sounds like a good one.
I think so. I think we. Yeah. I wish. I think there's a greater need for us now than there was for quite a while, and I'm mm-hmm. hoping that will go away again.
Well, and like you said, things are opening up. You can actually meet now.
Right.
Somehow that's kind of juiced everything up when you actually can meet. I mean, we did a lot on Zoom too, but it's
yeah. It's not communication. I'm sorry, not in the truest sense of. I mean, it's the body language. It's
I
the,
know.
It's all of that stuff, and it's like. No, you know, the words are important, but there's so much more to that.
Yeah, right.
And not to mention all the, I mean, we've all got our stories about the Zooms that, you know, all of a sudden take off into the ether or whatever. It's like, what the hell is going on here?
I know. Some people just won't Zoom.
Exactly. They're done.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a real fan myself. So, in fact, I don't do it as much as I probably should.
Which makes this fun because I'm just sitting in your backyard and we're not Zooming.
Exactly.
Yeah, I
know.
Like it. It's lucky.
Yeah.
Okay, well, good. Well, John Merz from Friends of Bidwell Park, thank you for this conversation.
Well, Bobby, I thank you for asking, and
yeah.
Look forward to any feedback we get.
I know. Well, and I just love to learn more and more about some of the things that are going on here in Chico and around, you know, the North State, particularly Chico, of course, because that's where we are. But, you know, I knew you were there, but did I really know?
Right.
You know, that's kind of how nonprofits are a lot of times.
That is exactly how nonprofits are in many cases. And so, yeah, it's always nice to shine some light.
Good.
Appreciate
Thank you.
It.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye, neighbor.
You've just heard a pre-recorded interview with John Merz from Friends of Bidwell Park. You're listening to North State Give and Take. I'm Bobby Tryon, and this is KZFR 90.1 FM. Stay tuned and return to North State Give and Take next week at 6 p.m. on Tuesday.